There is a joke, kind of, that I've heard a few times. It's when a new church document comes out, you know, a teaching from the Vatican, they're saying that, oh, it says the same thing as all the other ones. No, 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 no. That many times this is kind of the, I think, perception in the culture of the church's teaching as being a collection of no's. Thou shalt not do X, Y, or Z. Seeing our faith primarily in a set of prohibitions against things. That in the gospel, though, we see that Jesus, as he talks about the kingdom of God being present, or the first reading with Jonah preaching to the Ninevites, there's this speaking of repentance, yes, this turning away from something. But then he also says, and believe in the gospel. There's this positive thing. That for us, in fact, our faith is primarily based on this true, good, positive affirmation. The kingdom of God is here. The gospel is at work. We want to believe in this. We want to enter into this. We say yes to that wholeheartedly. Because of that, then, we say no to anything that runs contradictory to it, the things that are destructive in some manner, you know, to ourselves, others, a relationship with God, that repentance comes in consequence of the positive thing that we affirm. This is an important thing, I think, for us to understand when we face the difficult teachings at times in the church. Because again, so often it's only presented in a negative aspect. We think this weekend, we call to mind the March for Life that's happening in Washington, D.C. and in other cities. We call to mind this with the anniversary of the Roe versus Wade decision, legalizing abortion in the United States. And that this movement is portrayed often, again, in just the negative aspect, that the church is against abortion. Again, although it's called the March for Life, in the news you'll often see it as an anti-abortion rally, anti-abortion activists, emphasizing the negative thing, not the way that it refers to itself. That it'd be kind of like calling a pitcher in baseball an anti-home run enthusiast. There's something kind of silly to us when we hear that phrase, because we know that that's really not the main goal. It's part of what it is to be a pitcher, but it's a wider reality than that. Likewise, looking at our teaching on life issues in light of this understanding, again, of looking at the positive rather than the negative, we see that it's a wide thing, a respect for the dignity of the person, that dignity comes from the fact that they possess human nature, not because someone else has decided that they have it, not because the state has given them legal protection, that it's there regardless, you know, that we seek our laws to manifest to respond to that reality rather than considering that reality somehow warps itself to match the laws that we happen to pass as human beings. That we support the woman and the child together, that we see abortion as something destructive, harmful to society, to the woman, to the family. We understand, though, the many difficult realities that people face, why it is that they're pressured to enter into this choice. And that for that reason, we also support things like crisis pregnancy centers, positive things like that. These things that are not included and are omitted when we simplify it or somebody makes that simplification down to just an anti-abortion rally. That there's many other ways that we seek to support and affirm this positive reality. That in other ways, when we look at other difficult teachings of the church, something we struggle with, you know, how do we understand them? How do we begin to enter into them? I think is to look for that positive truth. What is that positive reality? What is that good that's being protected that leads to what we might see as a difficult teaching? That when we see that and the need and the worth of protecting and defending that, we can better understand why it is the church may say no to something that is attractive to us in some manner. We have this deep confidence that Christ, as he knows us, you know, as he calls the apostles in the gospel, he knows them. He knows who he created them to be. He knows what they truly desire. He calls them away from their nets, but to something greater, to fulfillment of who they are. That when we encounter those difficult calls in the gospel, may we have that same confidence that Christ knows us, that he loves us, that the teaching he gives doesn't obscure or hinder human fulfillment, but actually brings it about.